You know, let me ask you some questions. How many of you always feel like jumping out of bed every morning? How many of you have ever been assigned a project and you just felt like there's no physical way I can do this? Or anybody here ever had a financial challenge? You know, if your answer is yes to any of these questions, then my subject tonight is let the weak say I'm strong.
Amen. Amen.
In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now I want you to notice it says all things. There is no qualifications there. It says all things. That means spiritually, naturally, every way. All things. And now I'm going to read several versions of this because, you know, we may not like all of what some of the newer translations put in, but they can, sometimes when we read those, they can really be helpful in giving us a different look at that particular scripture. I want to read from the Amplified Classic Version, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ. Then the Contemporary English Version says, Christ gives me strength to face anything. The Darby Translation says, I have strength for all things in him that gives me power. Phillips New Testament, I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives within me. The Disciples Literal Translation, I can do all things by means of the one who strengthens me. The Living Bible, now not the New Living Bible, the Living Bible, this would be an older version. For I can do everything God asked me to with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and the power. The Message Version, whatever I have, whatever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. You know, all of these scriptures refer to being strong in Christ. You know, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, every way we're to be strong in the Lord. And it all comes out being in Christ. You know, when Dad said we're going to start Rhema Bible College, I told Annette, he told me to do it, and we started it, and things were really looking bad, man, and I just had to grip my teeth and be strong, and I said, if I have to go and I have to pawn, you know, now us old, more mature people would understand hawk everything, but, you know, the younger people don't understand that word. How many of y'all understand what that word means? They would call it pawn, you know. If I had to pawn or go to the pawn shop and pawn everything I got, we're going to make Rhema go. And, you know, and I'm going to get to some things here, and we're going to look at the context of this whole fourth chapter here, or the most of it. You know, you got to learn to be happy and content wherever you are and just be strong in God, strong in the Lord. You know, so, you know, that's what I did, and today there's 237 schools in 50 nations. You know, they didn't get there easy, but I had to be strong. In fact, I had to be strong enough to fire a bunch of people that tried to take the school and make it something that it wasn't supposed to be. You know, it says here, can do all things. Was that fun? No, that wasn't fun. But it had to be done in order for Rhema to be what Rhema is supposed to be. Thank God for everybody, every other kind of Bible school. I'm not saying anything against them. But we have a specific purpose, and so I had to be strong there. You know, now let's look at the context of Philippians 4:13, and it gives us a greater understanding. You see, before he did Philippians 4:13, he wrote some other stuff. And that caps it off. See, in go back, just jump up back up in verse 10. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again through you, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, let's read that in the Message. I know the Message got some stuff that's not right, but there's some of it that is really good. It says, I'm glad in God, far happier than you would ever guess. Happy that you're again showing such strong concern for me. Not that you ever quit praying and thinking about me. You just had no chance to show it. Actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned how to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just happy with little as with much. With much as with little. I've found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. And his recipe was to be content in the Lord, knowing that his strength is in the Lord, knowing that the victory is in Christ. And now the Philippian church here, they were one of the few churches that supported Paul in a financial way. There's several times he mentions them sending him gifts. They encouraged him with gifts and their thoughtfulness and their prayers. They took an interest in what Paul was doing. So Paul then states here, there have been times when he didn't have enough, and there were times when he had plenty. But I want you to notice, he said, I am content and I am the same whether I got a bunch or whether I don't have anything. Because you see, his life did not depend on whether he had a lot or whether he didn't. His life and his sustenance depended on being in Christ. You know? But, you know, some people, they, when things are not going well, then they begin to, what's going on, what's happening? Well, hey, learn to be content where you are, knowing that Christ is going to bring you out. Now, he got on down there in 4:19, he says, God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice that everything is in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Here he says, he supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, one of the things that I love to teach is the in him realities. And, you know, that's who you are in Christ. Now, I want you to notice that Paul learned not to be moved by circumstances or anything. He said there in Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me. Now, you can go and read the rest of it if you want to. Actually, when he made this statement, they had told him and somebody bound his hands and said, you're going to be bound and so forth and so on. He said, but none of these things move me. Why? Because he knew who he was in Christ. The in Christ realities. And in Acts 17:28, he said, in him we live and move and have our being. In him we move and live and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Now, Paul said here, he had learned the secret in verse 11. He said, I have learned whatever state I am in to be content. Yes. I want you to notice he said, I have learned. It just didn't happen. It wasn't a natural thing. Yes. Hello? Yes. He learned it. Yes. How many of you got in a car and you just automatically started driving? No. What did you have to do? You had to learn how to drive. How many of you guys play football? Any of you guys play football? Yeah, I got some guys over here. You have to learn how. They have to teach you how to get out in the stands. How many of you play baseball? You have to learn how to get in the stance to swing. You know. Now, this morning I did it, but Glenn, here. Now, let me ask you a question. Did that come automatic catching, or did you learn how to catch? He learned how to catch. Go ahead. I'm an old wide receiver and outfielder. I've played center field. But we learn how to do things. How many of you ladies learned how to cook? Yeah.
That's right.
We learn. So it's the same thing with the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, we can learn how to live in Christ and have what the Word of God said belongs to us. It's not something that just happens automatic. It's something we learn. Hello? See, now you have to guard against being discontented, because the enemy will come against you doing everything he can to get you out of following God, being in Christ, knowing that you can do it. He'll come and tell you every reason why you can't accomplish. He'll send people across your path that'll tell you why you can't do it. You see, if you don't believe you can, you won't. Even when it comes to the Word of God, and natural things the same way. You know, I started playing fast pitch, men's fast pitch softball when I was 16. I played till there wasn't no more fast pitch. I don't know whether any of you guys ever played fast pitch softball or not, but if you got a good fastball pitcher, I mean, they're closer to you than the baseball, but a good fastball pitcher, it comes in there about 100 miles an hour, 90 and 100 miles an hour. Sometimes you can hear that. You can hear that ball going as it comes by those seams. Well, we had this one old boy, and he left the dugout. He was going out of the dugout. He had his bat. I might as well not even go out there. I can't hit this guy anyway. You know what? They might as well have marked him out and just let him sit there, because he wasn't going to hit the ball, because he already said he couldn't. He didn't believe he could. See, we've got to believe what the Bible says. And in Christ, what we are in Christ. I want to get that across to you. It's in Christ. Paul did not say he was strong in himself. He's talking about being strong in Christ. See, that Amplified Classic version there says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. In Christ, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Not in myself. Paul didn't talk about himself. He talked about who he was in Christ. He had an understanding of the reality or of being in Christ. See, redemptive realities of who we are in Christ is one of the most important things you can ever learn. Paul emphasized in his writings who he was in Christ, what he had in Christ, and what he could do in Christ. Now, there's a fellow that I'm named after. His name was Kenneth E. Hagin, and mine is Kenneth W. Hagin. He wrote a few books and preached a few sermons. Anybody ever heard him preach? Anybody ever read his books? Heard his tapes? And now his CDs, we're still putting them out. You know, he said Paul's revelation of who you are in Christ and what you can do in Christ will change your life. He would say that all the time. There's a little book he's called out there, a little mini book called In Him. He already got all the scriptures. He didn't print them. They're just listed. The references are listed in there. In Christ, in whom, and all of the scriptures. Now, Paul is not telling us to do something based on our own ability. He's telling you it's all based on Christ. Now in Ephesians 6:10, he comes down there and he says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally. That means that that's the bottom line. Doesn't matter, you know, how many of you, you know, have realized that when you say finally, that's it. This is it. This is the final offer. That's it. When he said finally, my brother, he said, hey, this is it. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not you, him, in him. And then in 2 Timothy 2:1, he's talking to Timothy. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, all you got to do is read Paul's writings. Well, actually go read about him in the latter. You see, if you notice, the book of Acts actually is written about two people. The first part of it, the first nine to ten chapters, is about Peter. And the rest of the book is about Paul and his journeys. You can read that. Then you can go read 1 and 2 Corinthians and Ephesians and Galatians and Philippians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and Colossians. You can read all of his books, writings, and you can find out that he wasn't always in the best shape. Everything wasn't always going good. He faced a lot of stuff. But in all of this, in all of his challenges, in all of this, he made it through because of him understanding who he was in Christ. And going back to what I said over a while ago, who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ, right? Let's go back and pick that up. I want to get that to you. I want you to get a hold of that, of who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, what you can do in Christ. You know, I want to make sure that we get that. Yeah. Let me find it here. I can't even find it in my own notes now. Anyway, it's who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do through Christ. Hello. And who we are in Christ. Okay. Now, here we are. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:9 in the Message. And this is what Paul is saying. He told me my grace is enough. It is all you need. My strength comes into you in it. My strength comes in to its own in your weakness. In other words, my strength takes over in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Now I take limitations in stride with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks, I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. In other words, you die out to self and let Christ come and take over. That's what Paul is saying here. That's what he's trying to say and what he did say. Paul lived in the reality, being strong in the Lord when he was weak in the other areas made him strong. You know, now let's learn to tap into the strength of Christ. That's the important part. You know, you might see people that are Christians, they're born again, spirit filled, but they're weak, and they're just not strong. They don't ever seem to have enough. They barely get along. They struggle. They flounder in their circumstances and all their situations. And you know, some people just live in desperation. But the question can be found in the words of Christ, the words that Christians speak. The answer to weakness in our lives is found in what we say. Hello? What we say. Let me read from a little portion from that In Him book on page 4 from my dad. A lot of Christians are weak. This is because they never really dare to confess what God's Word says about them. They never dare to confess that they're what the Bible says they are, that they who the Bible says they are, and they have what the Bible says they have. See, you know, so many times we don't realize it, but our mouth is what's hurting us. Because we're speaking something that's opposite of the Word of God. Now, how many of you have ever read Mark 11:23? It says, say, doesn't it? Say. Say is making a confession. If you say to the mountain, be cast in the sea, doesn't doubt out of his heart, but believe that those things he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. See, we need to realize that we need to say, I'm strong in Christ. And we need to learn to whatever's going on. Doesn't make any difference what's going on. We're the same. We don't change with circumstances. You know, there's some people, they get down when the circumstances are bad. Everything going good. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then things get bad. And then they got, you know, they're walking around. Got a frown on their face. Everything's bad. You see, they are wavering. And James said that we can't waver. We got to be consistent. That's what Paul is saying here. Be consistent. Be strong. Stay consistent and content, praising God, speaking God's word, whatever's going on. Yes. Hello. You know, anybody in here, y'all, anybody here ever read F.F. Bosworth's book, Christ the Healer? That is a great book. If you've never read F.F. Bosworth's book, Christ the Healer, you need to read it. Now, I realize it was published a long time ago, but man, it's got some good stuff in it. You know, the power of God, we activate the power of God when we speak the word. Yes. See, you activate the power of God to help you when you say, I'm strong in the Lord. Yes. I can do this because I'm strong in the Lord. Yes. He says I can. Yes. Now, in his book, Christ the Healer, on page 143, 144, a spiritual law that few recognize is that our confessions rule us. It is what we confess with our lip that lips really dominates our inner being. Make your lips do their duty. Refuse to allow them to destroy the effectiveness of God's word in your case. Yes. See, you destroy the effectiveness of God's word by speaking opposite of what the Bible says. Uh-huh. Man, I don't know how many times my dad would say, oh, I wish they wouldn't say that. I said, what do you mean, Dad? He said, they just came. We prayed, and now they're saying opposite. You see, you nullify. When you speak opposite of the word, you nullify everything. Come on now. See, the truth is, who you are in Christ should be all. It should be a constant thing with you. You know, E.W. Kenyon in The Power of Words said, confession builds the road over which faith hauls its mighty cargo. Hallelujah. See, God wants to get some things to us, but he's limited by what we say. When we're saying the wrong thing, even though he wants to help us, we can't. How many of you have ever wanted to help your kids or your grandkids, but you can't because of what they're doing? Come on now, be honest with me here. And you talk to them and say, hey, look, I'll help you with this, but you're going to have to change this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You may have had your own parents say that to you. See, God wants to get us there, but we're limited. God has provided all things for us, but he's only able to deliver those things to us if we say what the Bible says we have in Christ. In Christ. The important part is in Christ. Not how much Bible you know, and thank God you need to know it. Not how many scriptures you can quote. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know what you have in Christ? Do you know what you can do in Christ? See, it all comes back to that. You know, you can quote, I've heard people quote scripture that's not even born again. They've read the Bible until they can quote you more scripture than some Christians can. Hello? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You see, but it's not how many scriptures you can quote. Do you understand who you are in Christ? And are you living according to the Word of God in Christ? It's all in Christ. You know, it's time that we begin to confess who we are in Christ. You know, there's an old song we used to sing, Let the Redeemed Say So. Anybody remember that song? Yeah. Let the Redeemed Say So. See, we need to say who we are. You need to tell yourself who you are. You know, they tell you if somebody doesn't have a good self-image, they tell them to get in front of the mirror and repeat their name and get in front of a mirror and say, hey, I am somebody. I can do accomplish things. I can be something. Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah, I got a few hours of psychology in my degree, so I know a little bit about that. Not a whole lot, but a little. I got away from it when I started getting involved in the ministry. I got away from psychology because of the fact that you can psychologically manipulate people. And also, if you get in too much of that, you can know some things about people simply by what they say and how they act. That's why my dad always said, I can tell if people are really in Christ by what they say. Hello. Well, you know, and I didn't want to manipulate anybody or anything, so I just quit. But anyway, we have to say, get in front of the mirror and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Same principles, but you're doing it from the spiritual standpoint and not from that standpoint. Now, we need to confess the Word of God over our lives. Amen? Okay, I got 5 minutes. I got more than that if I want it, but I'm let you out. All right, everybody stand up. And either hold up your iPhone, your iPad, or your Bible. You know, so many times that, I mean, my wife, she has her Bible, and then she'll have out her iPhone with all the different translations on it. Now, I want you to say this. We're going to make some confessions. Now, don't say it if you don't really believe it. Okay? This is my Bible. It is God's word to me.
It is God's word to me.
I am who it says I am.
I am who it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I am strong in the Lord.
I am strong in the Lord.
I can do all things.
I can do all things.
Through Christ which strengthens me.
Through Christ which strengthens me.
When I feel weak, I'm strong in Christ.
When I am weak,
I declare that I am strong.
I am happy and content where I am.
Because I know God is working in my life.
He's performing His promises
in my situation.
I am strong
in the knowledge of the Word of God
and of His provision.
For me.
I rejoice in the Lord.
Because He does all things for me.
God is moving in my life.
Because my confession of His Word
enables Him
to perform the Word
in my life.
Now raise your hands and thank God because you're in Christ.
And
and you can do what Christ says you can do. You can be what Christ says you can be. You can have what Christ says you can have. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, all right. What do you got, Anthony?
I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Come on, let's sing it again. I know who I am. I know.
God says that we have him and he is with us at all times.
Yes.
He gives us everything we need.
Yes.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yes.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen.
Yes.
Hey, I never like to preach a sermon that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Christ or somebody to rededicate their life. If there's anybody in that category tonight, I want to pray with you and for you. If you just step out now, I'll walk down here. I'll pray with you and I'll pray for you. If anybody's here that wants to receive the Holy Spirit, now I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance, Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. If anybody like to be filled with the Spirit, well, anybody want to be prayed for healing? Come to the front right now. We'll minister healing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Stand right here. Just stand right here. You want healing? All right. Praise the Lord. Reach your hands out toward them as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the healing anointing to flow into these lives. I thank you that the Bible says we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I thank you that the healing power is flowing in their lives now. They will be healed. They are healed in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Praise report from last week.
Okay. Okay. We have a prayer request here, a prayer cloth, I mean, for Carol Hatfield. She has pneumonia. Hallelujah. The Word of God says that they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul. And when they were laid on the sick, sickness left. If there were evil spirits, they left in the name of Jesus. Reach hands out. Heavenly Father, we lay hands on this cloth right now. In line with the Word of God, I thank you that the healing power of God's flowing into this cloth. And when it's taken to this person, that healing power will flow out of this cloth like it flowed out of your clothes to the woman with the issue of blood. I thank you for healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Pam says she has a testimony from last week.
Yes. Is it? Yeah, so I'm just.
Can you hear me?
Oh,
okay. Last week, Craig taught, and I came and stood in for my daughter that's 38. She's leaving her 60,000 a year job downtown Dallas and walking away from her life and going to Rhema, and she'll start the 1st of September. She's 38 and she doesn't have a job there yet. She just now got a place to stay, and she went 2 weeks ago to Lake Tahoe for a family reunion on her sister's husband's side of the family, which they're from India and Pakistan. Well, they all came, and a young girl that just married one of them had type B flu that came from India. And my little two, I only have two grandsons, the little 2-year-old, the 7-year-old, they got it severe and got pneumonia on top of it. So it happened the week between the Sunday and the Sunday, so we didn't come for prayer. We just believed God and spoke from Oklahoma to McKinney, Texas, McKinney, Texas, and Anna. Anna's where they live.
Yep.
So anyway, so the boys, we just prayed all, you know, and spoke all that week over the boys. And so that Friday, which was the Friday right before last Sunday, Holly was at work. She only had a few days left before she goes to Rhema, and she got severely a bad case of that type B or whatever it is. Well, with the boys, they couldn't, the doctors said in McKinney, Texas, and even in Dallas, that there's no flu here right now. So they had nothing to fight it with. They had to try and wait for it to come in. It came in 3 days later, the medicine for the boys to take. And if they took it, it would be a permanent, they could have a permanent twitch for the rest of their life, a permanent, all kinds of side effects. But we had to go ahead and give it to them. We did. And so anyway, Holly, I stood in Sunday, and Craig laid hands on me, and he said, "This is for Holly in McKinney or Anna, Texas." And it was at 7:31 when we prayed. So we get out of church, I get in the car, we're driving, and I text Holly, knowing she probably couldn't lift her head to text me back. But her son, 7-year-old son, needed to go to church, go to school the next day on Monday. So she drug herself out of the bed and got the child and went to Target to get his school supplies. And she said, I was walking out of the Target at 7:31 because she looked at her watch. And she said, she turned to Samuel and said, "You know what? Something just lifted off of me, and I feel 100%. So she texted me and said, "Mother, you're right. It was 7:31 when that happened. And that's right when the glory of God came in this place. And with one person and the pastor, he has a gift of healing. Brother Hagen told him, his grandfather told him, that he would have the gift of healing. And when that man laid hands on me, I didn't feel a thing. Not a thing. Physically, not a thing. But it healed my baby in Anna, Texas."
Hallelujah.
And if you think coming up here is just, you know, okay, we'll do it because we've always done it. No. God's power really works.
Yeah. Amen.
And the enemy's trying to stop Holly from going to Rhema. And she went 1 year in 1998. She's 38 years old. And she said, "No, I'm going back, and I'm leaving this behind."
Hallelujah. So, praise God.
Anyway, pray for her that she gets a job and all that. Thank you.
Amen. Bye-bye. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, there, she didn't feel nothing, but Holly did. Because she was standing there. She didn't need it. Holly needed it. That she felt it. See, there's no distance in prayer. I've heard testimonies like that for years and years. You know, I've been in this all my life. You know, I was born September the 3rd, 1939, 7 a.m. in the morning. My dad was pastor at Farmersville Church, First Assembly in Farmersville, Texas. The next Sunday I was in that church, and I've been here ever since. I don't know nothing else, and I don't want to know nothing else. God is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he'll do if we'll just simply believe him. Amen. Well, praise God. Hey, next week, right here, same time, same place, I'll be here. If I'm not here, you know, Craig's usually here, and if either one of us can't make it, one of the other associates does. Mostly, I'll be here. Mostly, Brother Tad has been coming over, right? Tad Gergerich, he's the dean of Rhema, but he's also one of my associates. But either Pastor Craig or Pastor Hagen, Kenneth Hagen, is here, and we'll be here. One of us is here. Hey, it's been a great night. I don't know about you. We're strong in the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're strong in the Lord. I go to one door and she's going to another door. First time guest. Hey, here we go, Jane. Take them there and get them a special gift. All right.